B-Pod Studios.
.985 The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Did you ever watch a show and it's like real weird and you're not sure if it's funny or not?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you think about it, and sometimes it's, you know, it's, you go either way. You go, I guess that wasn't really funny, and or there's times where you go, that was so genius. And then you start asking, why did I not find this funny in the first place?
Right. There's this comedian, Joe Pera, and I think I've shown you both of him, his thing about the Buffalo Bills. But he's got this show, Joe Pera Talks to You. And you know Connor O'Malley? He's the guy from Honk If You're Horny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's with Joe Pera. He does a lot of stuff with him, and he writes some of these episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Joe Pera shows you iron. Joe Pera takes you to breakfast. Joe Pera takes you on a fall drive. Joe Pera shows you how to dance. Joe Pera reads the church announcements.
No.
And there are these, like, 14-minute episodes that I'm, like, fascinated by. Because, like, the thing is, he lives in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and he's a middle school choir teacher.
Yeah.
But, like, none of that matters. And there's an episode where he just grows green beans. He just shows you how to grow green beans. And then, and then throughout the season, he goes around giving people green beans. Like, I can't tell if it's funny or not.
Once again, I would have to watch it to figure it out. I'll give you an example of somebody that when I first, like, saw them, I didn't quite get it. And it took me a good 15 minutes to understand that this was actually funny, and that was Mitch Hedberg. When you first see Mitch Hedberg, his delivery was so different, and it was just so odd that at first I didn't know if it was funny. And now I look back, like, how the hell was I not cackling listening?
Well, there's audiences. He did television appearances where he, like, the crowd just didn't get it, and he was just like, oh, God.
And I've seen some of those,
yeah.
And they're amazing. Like, they're unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's,
I mean,
those,
he's a rare guy that does jokes.
You have to just get his pacing and get used to it, and then it kills. Matter of fact, he might be my favorite comedian. Him and Brian Regan might be my two favorites.
The episode, the first one of this season, was Joe Pera talks to you about beans. Joe constructs a bean arch in his backyard and invites his neighbors and his new girlfriend Sarah over to see it.
So I'll have to check it out then.
And he literally builds a bean arch. Like, and it's not a documentary.
Okay.
It's like he's like, this is pretty neat. Like, you can just reach up and grab a bean.
Okay, well, I'll have to give it a chance. That I will have to do. Okay, so if you have any kind of female friends on social media, whether it be Facebook or anything, mm-hmm. the two topics that a majority of them are mm-hmm. just completely mm-hmm. Exploding over. Mm-hmm. would be the royal family between Prince Harry and his wife no longer being members of the royal family and giving up all that. And the other story is something that happened last night during the SAG Awards. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys were up watching the entire SAG Awards yesterday. But there was a moment where...
The SAG Awards, that's what they call my balls.
So, yes. Well, Brad Pitt ended up winning an award for the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood film that he made. Also, Jennifer Aniston ended up winning something for the morning show on Apple TV. And, of course, there was a moment where while Jennifer Aniston was doing her award speech, they showed Brad Pitt backstage watching her longingly on TV. Now, if there's one thing that the tabloids for, what, the last 25 years have never let go.
In Touch recently had a story that they had rekindled their relationship.
There is, I mean...
That Brad has gotten his life together, that Brad was heavily drinking and doing drugs.
There have been writers for the last 30 years who have had that story ready to go, press send the second the two of them started dating again. And Brad Pitt yesterday was up on stage and he was talking about his role. And he goes, let's be honest, it was a difficult part. The guy who gets high, takes his shirt off and doesn't get on with his wife. It's a big stretch, big. And it cut to Jennifer Aniston with a smile on her face and laughing and clapping. And of course, women's ovaries just went, they're going to get back together.
Nah,
and at one point, there's a video of them hugging each other and like laughing together. So everyone went nuts. But one thing I did learn from Brad Pitt last night is that one Quentin Tarantino might have something in common with a gentleman who used to used to work here at the radio station.
Tell me something I don't know.
From Brad Pitt's speech last night.
I want to thank my co-stars, Leo, Margot Robbie, Margot Robbie's feet, Margaret Qualley's feet, Dakota Fanning's feet. Seriously, Quentin has separated more women from their shoes than the TSA.
Hate speech.
It's Jessica Moran. Just ignore all the razzing from Toucher and Rich. I mean, it's funny, really funny, but it's just another case of mothership envy.
Did somebody say feet?
That was hate speech.
But Quentin Tarantino's obsessed with feet, apparently.
Yes, no, he is. You didn't know that?
Dude, I've seen all of his... I don't remember. I know that, of course, in Kill Bill, wiggle your big toe.
Yes, like, I think Uma Thurman was cast because of her feet.
No, she was not cast in there because of her feet. They were good.
I'm not lying to you. I think.
In Pulp Fiction?
Yes, I think that he liked her feet.
Hmm?
Sorry, didn't she and John Travolta dance barefoot at the restaurant?
Do you know it was?
They did.
Do you know it was in the box at the end? A pair of high heels.
It just glowed. Yeah.
When they opened up the box at the end of Pulp Fiction, a pair of stolen Tootsie holders.
I'm Italian.
Has an Italian. Take your shoes off. That's so fast.
Solid Italian seafood.
Nice and slow.
Is fried.
Bird was saying that there's a scene from Dusk Till Dawn, which is not directed by Tarantino, starred in it, Robert Rodriguez directed, but either way, Salma Hayek puts her foot in his face and then pours champagne.
He's like a huge foot fetishist.
And before that big dance, don't they have a back in Pulp Fiction? Don't they have a big conversation about a foot massage?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's of course. It's one of the famous. I mean,
that's not like a necessary thing to do.
I am having somewhat of a Usual Suspects moment here.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Thank you, Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan, do you identify with Quentin Tarantino here?
Mm-hmm.
I knew you would, yes.
I don't like Brad Pitt bringing out all the dirty laundry.
They are beautiful.
Yeah, they are. That's the feet.
That's the thing is that foot fetishes are so weird that, like, people don't even care. Like, he could just... Because imagine if he was like, oh, yeah, and he wants to think Margot Robbie's butt and, like, her butt... Or her boobs. Like, you just, like, feet, and people are like, oh. I totally get it. Don't they wear pantyhose on their heads at some point?
What?
In one of his movies?
Really beautiful feet.
I don't know. Okay, so here we go. The Glorious Bastards, there was a scene where that woman, remember that she had to, she lost her shoe, and one of her toes goes popping out. I guess The Hateful Eight has tons of bunch of scenes of feet.
The Fateful 8 seconds it took me to climax.
I guess there were in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Didn't really notice that. And I guess that Tarantino did co-write Dusk Till Dawn, technically. So he probably just threw in a scene where Selma Hayek would shove her foot in his face.
No, she shoved it in his face.
Yeah, that's... I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Yeah. She shoved it in his face and then, like, poured champagne into his face.
Painted toenails?
I think they were painted, as a matter of fact, D.A.
Color?
Yeah, I think... I don't know. Maybe
size, width?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Bunions?
Yeah, I don't know if she had bunions. I don't know what's going on.
Do tell.
Oh, yeah. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, there was the hitchhiker that Brad Pitt picks up, and she's got her bare feet up on the dashboard the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And you call yourself a cinephile.
I know. I did not pay attention to that. I did not realize.
Every time I see it, I go, ha ha! Another one, Mr. Tarantino. Hats off to you.
What do you think about that, Crash?
Feet.
That just gives me the creeps.
Where was the Kenny G? I was waiting for that.
Okay, well, he loves,
I want to hear Kenny G.
He loves the feet. No, I can't believe you guys didn't know that he had a foot fetish.
No,
I had no idea.
I didn't.
You're not on the Reddit foot fetish directors?
I love them feet. Love them feet.
Gross, gross, gross.
Well, he used to have his wife get home from work, and before she sat down, he would be like, don't take your shoes. Let me take your shoes off so I can smell them.
All right. I don't need this. Now everyone's sending me a montage of all of the feet scenes from Quentin Tarantino movies.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that you've become aroused.
Gross.
Perfectly natural.
No, it's very creepy, to be quite honest.
Hmm?
Yes, DA. It's very creepy.
You ever get a little mud on them? Let me wash them with my tongue.
Ah. Hmm? Ah. I don't even know how to react.
Ah.
Okay. Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. No, you can leave, Matt.
Don't put your feet in.
That Rex Ryan tape still makes me laugh.
Yep.
Like, to this day, just the fact that that it was his voice, and they had a situation where he was a police officer. Like, they role-played.
Like, it's just, in any scenario, it's just weird to do that with your wife. Like, make like a fake porno, but I guess it was to share online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was in this.
Yeah, he's in this underground foot sharing like world, mm-hmm. like foot video sharing. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's mm-hmm. anyone shouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, they're married and, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, but man, it's just weird.
Did you ever see, speaking of underground foot fetishes, did you ever see Zombie Focopolis where from the grave feet appear?
Is it okay to touch him again?
The undead? Zombie Focopolis. It's an underground foot fetish film. A man is skipping through a graveyard. And all of a sudden, like, his, like flowers sprouting from the ground.
And you were worried we wouldn't be able to fill a block.
All these corpses' his feet come out. Oh, my. Oh, my. How scary. It's Zombie Focopolis. What's the rest of the film? Nothing.
So what happens? You trip and fall nose first into a foot?
He's like, he can't. Then he gets picked up by a beautiful woman who has abnormally long legs, and there's a foot sticking out the passenger and driver's side windows. Oh. And she goes, it was like Back to the Future. I took a skateboard and hung onto one of her feet. He got out of Dodge.
Or just, it was like in the cartoons when the skunk would smell like something and would just float. Oh, maybe he just like smelled the foot and like floated
cartoons,
behind the
cartoons, that happens in real life. Ooh, it appears that I'm at a foot locker. I'll take these. Oh, they don't fit, hey? Okay, we'll just put them in the bag. All right.
DA gets so mad when people tweet him about that. Like, really mad. Whenever our listeners just say, hey, they're talking about your foot fetish, yeah. He does not like that.
Well, he's doing the mornings now.
He is.
He's got a national morning show.
He does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. National foot-loving morning show.
That's right. His alarm goes off and it's just two toes underneath his nose. It's like Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It goes, and then there's the thing that the doctor hits your knee with. The foot comes up to his face. Like a marble rolls down. Oh, man.
It just has these high heels stomping up and down. That's the sound of the floor. Like
a mice runs on a wheel and it cranks up something.
And there's like, you know, they do a balloon drop on New Year's. It's just a bunch of dirty socks. And it just floats down on top of him when the alarm goes off. It's like,
and he pops out from him and goes, ah! All right. Well, Everyone who was listening stopped. Let's do an 18-minute riff on feet. God, that stuff's funny to me.
Fred had to take off his glasses and wipe his eyes after that one.
There is nothing funnier than a foot fetish. It is just the greatest. It's so just out of nowhere. It just makes no sense. It's so illogical that it's just fascinating. It's like science fiction. All right. Well, we'll come back and talk more about feet, I'm sure.
Hey, Bernard Crusoe here at Royale Boston, where Patrice Bergeron and the rest of its Bruins teammates join 98.5 The Sports Hub for the annual Pucks and Paddles ping pong tournament to benefit Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center.
It's kind of like I can't really put it into words. It's just so, like, amazing that I'm here.
Really special. It's always a lot of fun. Happy to be here, and obviously for two great causes. So, we're excited for a great day.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Last Friday was our annual Pucks and Paddles with Patrice Bergeron, and it raised a lot of money for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children, and as well as the Boston Bruins Foundation. If you go to the top of the Floating Hospital for Children, it's a ton of Bruins stuff. They obviously put a lot of effort into supporting that charity. And people that say that I throw the game, like I don't care about winning the ping pong game.
No, you tried.
I did try.
Yeah. No, you tried. So did I. It's just that
I think I'm the one who won the points that we won. Like, I understood the rules.
Yeah.
There was, like, a ref that was, like, watching.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no. It was just, I saw you guys. I mean, you guys were obviously trying. And on top of that, I got bounced by the same guy 2 years in a row. I didn't realize Chris Wagner was going to be the guy who beat me twice, but he did. So he beat me last year, beat me this year, and I definitely was trying.
Yeah, I just don't play ping pong. I don't have a ping pong.
Like ping pong once a year.
And yeah. At the tournament, you're right. But it did raise $125,000 for the Tufts Floating Hospital for Children, and great turnout.
Let me just say one thing that's complimentary of the Bruins before we get to the real story, is that a bunch of the younger guys, instead of hanging out upstairs, like, and they have a private room, mm-hmm. were hanging in this, like, little nook that was, like had a velvet rope. But, you know, it was for them to, they chose to hang out there after they were done playing. And I would just let kids in, mm-hmm. and they never complained. They, sat and, like, talked to them.
They're always great. As a matter of fact, I felt so bad that my partner was bouncing the first round, and he was, like, I think he was, like, 16. Anthony. And I was like, I feel so bad. I'm going to introduce you to any Bruin that you want to meet. You know, like, just tell me who you want to meet. And I just brought him on stage. Like, here's Char, here's whatever. Because I felt like an a-hole for getting us bounced out in the first one. And it was my fault.
It never occurred to me. But
your guy was already on the stage with all of them. You see, we were in the back of the other table.
So they never complained. And DeBrusque is the man. And some of the, I mean, they were media, so they're not going to be, you know, a lot of them are probably very, hesitant to, like, talk. But DeBrusque is the man. And then, like, Marchand saw my wife and asked about my kids and knew their names and everything. And so they're good people. All right.
But the best part, Fred, of the evening.
Something that I stumbled upon, too.
One thing that just was, it was my favorite.
Yeah.
So at the end of Friday's show, John from Vegas calls in. Who is John from Vegas? He is the one who did all the Sarge Sucks calls nationally. I mean, he really made it a thing. He got on Hannity, did all that.
Who I think is very clever and very funny.
Very clever. So, but you know, he, you know, has a real thing against Sarge. It's so much that at the last Pucks and Paddles last year, he hired a ringer and won the bid and had this professional ping pong player play with Mark Bertrand and win the entire thing. And at the end, when they made the speech, John goes up with the Sarge Sucks sign, and Sarge goes up and grabs the mic, and it was all weird.
And it didn't make any sense, and I had no idea what was going on.
So on Friday's show, at the very end, John Vegas calls in and goes, "Hey, guys, I just want you to know that I am going to be coming." And I was like, "I don't want to know anything. I have nothing to do with this. I don't want anyone to think that we set you up or anything." So he showed up, and he ended up doing something. I don't know what it was. Like, he was a media guy. He didn't disrupt anything.
He got in as a media member.
Okay.
Saying that he wrote for, like, a paper in New Hampshire.
Okay. So, but the one thing I did see with John from Vegas is I went back after my game was done to go see my man Joe Murray holding court. He's got the Bankroll Boys shirt right in front of him.
People flock to him. It's amazing.
And I walk over to Joe, and I'm like, what's up, Joe? And he goes, hey, Rich, check out what's happening right here. And I turn to my right, and there is Joe Murray's wife in the face of Mr. Sarge Sucks himself, John from Vegas, like ripping him a new one, undressing him in front of everyone. And John is a guy who, like, you know, try to retort and come back and be witty. But even he was just like, how do I get out of this? And so that was done. And then about, what, 5 minutes later, he comes back, and she does it again, even worse. I mean, it was awesome.
I was there for the second one. I was not there for the first.
And I only was able to listen in for a little bit of it, because I'm sitting with Joe, and we're both laughing, and Joe's like, I'm just going to let her do her thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there dying laughing. So Joe Murray in studio with us right now. How did that all start?
Well, I was hanging with Wallach. We were hanging, like, at the side where everyone's pucks and paddles, and he like asked me twice if I wanted a drink. I think you might have went up and came back, and I was waiting for my wife to come back with a drink. I'm like, where is she? And I go back, and I see her yelling at somebody. And then come to find out, like, it's John from Vegas. And he, like,
how did she know it was John from Vegas?
I think he introduced himself to everybody. Yeah. So I talked to him for a little bit. No, he did pull the act of, hey, I'm a reporter. Are you part of the
He did
know,
that
the
to me, too. And I didn't even know. I didn't know it was him.
I didn't know it was him or whatever. So I, like, talked to him, like, oh, yeah, you know, Sarge is my boy, like, whatever, like, you know, you're kind of a jerk, like, whatever. We talked it out or whatever. So, from what you guys gather is that you guys think that, like, she was yelling at him about, like, Sarge.
Because I heard, that's part I heard.
Yeah. Which I thought was odd that she would be so.
Yes.
Because you're close with Sarge.
Vociferous about
we all hang out, like, there's Mike Riley and there's Sarge.
No, I understand, but, you know, her going crazy like that about Sarge just seemed,
odd. Yes, and so I guess she didn't want to tell me this while I was there, but I guess he must have said something to the likes of, you know, hey, Joe could be good at this if he doesn't mess it up, and, you know, if Joe this, and he could be good. And, like, basically, like, saying things about me that he just didn't know.
Right? Like, kind of insulting things.
Yeah, about the Bankroll Boys, yeah, and things like that.
Oh, but so Lifshatz, too?
Yeah, he said that he likes Lifshatz, where it was like, all right, so you don't like me? Like, and I think that's
a weird thing that people do, yeah.
That's kind of, and so I guess she was, like, defending the wall on that.
Okay, so.
But she didn't want to tell me you know, John was saying stuff.
You are
I was
so
there.
Downplaying how intense that was. what were some of the things that you heard her say?
Well, she's the fresh Hawaiian. Like, that's her. That's her thing. Like, when we go out, like, you think I'm the mouthpiece, right? You would think I'm the mouthpiece. No, right.
No, was obvious watching her at the party. Yes.
But yeah, she's like, she's swearing. So she doesn't like the Sarge thing. She thought that thing got out of hand. And, you know, and I got along with John. Like, in the end, when it's all said and done, like, he thinks Sarge sucks on the radio. That's it.
All right. So this is a tweet this morning from John from Vegas. It said, find someone who loves you like Joe Murray's wife loves him. She told me if I ever screw with Joe or Dan Lifshatz, she would end me.
She did say that.
And I'm inclined to believe her. She also said some stuff. She also said some stuff about Sarge, but I think I was texting and missed most of it.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, I heard her say that. Like, you know, if you say that again, I'll end you. Pretty much. Yeah, I talked to John in Vegas. Like, I kind of had a. Hey, man. First, I don't like the way you're talking about. Like, that was kind of like one of those things. And then, like, a second, man. Like, Sarge is my boy. And like a third, man. Like, you know, I just really don't care about your opinion. That was kind of like what I said. And then he was like, oh no, I like you. I like what you do. And he kissed my ass. But then when I left later on in the night, I'm with Bird and his girl and. Come to find out, I guess he had some things to say.
Oh, really? Oh, to you, man. Bird? And about
No, what just, he just said.
Yeah, but I wasn't there.
By the way, my wife, a big fan also of Bird's girlfriend.
Of course.
She filled me in on on everything.
The two of them are the best.
That she's going to be a nurse, but she also wants to do the thing my wife gets, the injection.
But Botox.
She wants to do that.
All right, do me a favor real quick, Joe. Is there a can around here somewhere? your diet A&W.
All right. Here's what happened. Okay.
There was a picture that was taken. I took it.
I don't know what I was drinking. Fred's like, I got a tab. And you got me shots. You did. Thank you very much.
Didn't you guys use the tab the whole night?
No, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't.
I was under the impression that was offered to you.
Oh, I guess I'll take that up next time.
All right.
Time.
It was this hard seltzer that I guess like Tuca owns or something like that. And
it looked like it said long urine. Like when I was holding it, because my hand is so huge. So if you saw the Andre the Giant documentary that came out, they said that like Andre would drink like 60 beers a night.
Yeah.
But when he puts the beer can in his hand,
it does look like it says long urine. I mean, I'm looking at the can right now, and you, that can like is screaming for mercy in your hand, like it's getting swallowed. And I didn't realize your hand was that big. Let me see those suckers.
I got a big hand, man.
It was like it looks, it legitimately looked like that.
So yes, it looked like an Andre the Giant can hand. Yes.
Yes. All right. And then real quick, the MMA gambling one.
So I had the over 1.5 rounds. That didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
And by the way, just quickly on that, Connor sucks. He won in 40 seconds, but go fight Masvidal. If I was Connor McGregor, I would go try to do boxing again and make another payday.
I was sold on the fact that this was a good fight. This was supposed to be a good fight.
I think it was two good names.
Okay.
Not a good fight.
Because as I said, I'm a casual fan of the MMA.
But if you saw it right away, kicked him in the face, broke his nose. He was done from there.
But Connor's done that. Like, I mean,
the thing, I know he's won at every weight level. Featherweight, you name it. Welterweight, he's the only one ever to do that. To me, though, fight somebody real, man. Fight Masvidal. That's the deal. That's the fight.
You need a Habib rematch.
Yeah, he'll lose both of them.
Dana White sold on the Habib.
The Habib rematch.
He'll lose both.
That will be the highest grossing MMA fight of all time.
And
he fights Habib again.
Because
they legitimately hate each other.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's two fighters who hate each other more than those two guys do, because it got really personal. Like, the religion was brought in. I mean, it was...
Well, they brought in the security people came in after the fight. So that's my only thing with Connor. Yeah, you beat an old guy who lost 3 in a row and 5 fights before you even came back. But all the dogs won.
Yes! How
that's
about
all that?
That
matters.
Joe Murray said that.
One dog was plus 650.
That's crazy.
So if you want 100, you put 50 on everything. We did it evenly.
Yep, that's right.
No juice and... So $225, all the dogs. And it's now, this is 4 consecutive cards where the dogs have won outright.
All right, there you go.
Always even though I lost the 1.5, you still won money.
You're under 98.5 podcast. The Bankroll Boys. Don't
Andre the Bankroll Giant.
That's right. And you'll be hosting the Midday Show along with Ted Johnson.
And Adam Jones, yes.
The Midday Show chose today to take off when you can use this as a comp day in the future. I don't know why you take a day off where it's 14 degrees. And you can basically BS through the whole show and your kids are home. But nonetheless, all right, here are the headlines.
Tutcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Not 8.5, the sports hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
While Joe Murray is here, I'd be remiss to not have him correct me if I am wrong, but the first lines that came out on the Super Bowl had Kansas City favored by 1. I've seen 1.5 as well. What are you hearing, Joe Murray?
Yeah, it's 1.5 right now.
Okay. All right. We were saying this earlier. That and the over-under being 51.5 seems almost like easy money, putting it on the Chiefs and the over, but I could be... I mean, as I said, I don't do this for a living. You do it almost professionally. Where would you go with that?
Gone up to 53.5 already.
Okay.
So this is at my local. I think overall it's going to be a good game. It really is going to come down to, can the Chiefs stop the running game? The Chiefs give up 130 yards. I mean, Henry had 70 yards rushing yesterday. They went away from him, like, late in the game there. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was on them. And then the Chiefs got the ball and just started scoring. So can Jimmy Garoppolo throw the football? That is the serious question this week. Forget about the Patriots traded the guy or any of that. Can Jimmy Garoppolo throw the football and go tit for tat with Patrick Mahomes?
But the thing is that he's going to have to, because, I mean, you can, like I said, Tennessee had a drive where they ran off over 8 minutes of clock and they score a touchdown and then they're, up 10.
And they're not going to have a guy scoring 4 rushing touchdowns.
No.
And Tevin Coleman's been their best back. So I think they weren't ready for Mostar last. They weren't ready for him. Like the you mentioned the Jonas Gray.
Yeah.
We may never hear from this guy again.
It's the Jonas Gray game. Yeah.
Mostert.
Yeah, this Mostert. Guy. Yeah, I mean, it seems strange, but it just also seems to me, like you were saying with Jimmy Garoppolo, like that offense is going to have to find a way to outscore Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think it's possible to do that. And I also believe that as good as your defense is, just what Kansas City is doing is, like, ridiculous.
Is San Francisco's defense good enough? They've shown an ability to stop a lot of good passing teams this year. Is San Francisco's defense good enough to slow them down to keep the game in the low 20s?
But you're also giving Reed 2 weeks. And I like Reed's mind over
here. You have to keep in mind it is Andy Reid, though.
Yeah.
Andy Reid off a bye is great. I'll just bring up one game this year. If you remember that Saints 49ers game that went back and forth, Garoppolo kept up with Breeze that day. The Saints scored with 40 seconds left, and Garoppolo came back to win the game.
Yeah,
so
that's one.
He has been able to do it.
That's one. I remain
this will be
unconvinced that he can do that.
All right. Well, we shall see.
All right.
There'll be lots of prop bets. I'll get drilled.
I have one here in front of me.
Which one?
As a matter of fact, it's brand new, just out. Will J-Lo show butt cleavage during the Super Bowl halftime show? Yes, +500. No, -1,000.
Now, what qualifies as butt cleavage?
I guess it's kind of like the plumber looking at looking under the sink.
Like a crack? Cleavage.
Yeah.
No. No, you will not see a crack. No. If you're going to see just like her cheeks, you know, there'll be cheeks for weeks, but you won't see any crack. That's whack. Those hips don't lie.
Her and A-Rod are in love.
That's right. Shakira is also there.
Yeah, she is there. All right. So, hey, there's a big halftime show to look forward to. Top-selling NBA jerseys in the league. You got LeBron James at number one. Giannis at number two. Steph Curry at three. And how about this at number four? Jason Tatum, the fourth highest-selling jersey in the NBA.
How about that?
I wish he would play like it lately. He hasn't been that bad, but also the team's been going through a bad streak. James Harden comes in at five. Luka over there at number six. Kawhi, seven. Anthony Davis at eight. Joel Embiid at nine. And Kyrie Irving, and the way he compares himself to Julius Irving in front of his teammates, at number 10.
You don't see a lot of guys walking around with NBA jerseys on anymore.
Yeah.
At games, you do.
Yeah.
No, at games, yeah. Because
sports
people,
bars.
They want to look like
players. In the city,
just
growing
go to Causeway.
Up. Larry Bird everywhere.
Growing up, you say, but I'm talking about right now. I don't often see people walking around with jerseys on.
I don't think you go to the North Shore often.
I don't.
No. You may need to hang out Revere a little bit.
In fact, Rich,
am I wrong, Joe?
I'll up you with this. I've never go to the North Shore.
Yeah, just saying, you get up to
literally
north of Ipswich. I mean, that's where we're talking.
Those are not cheap. Those. Yeah. I mean, that's Sunday best then. Mm-hmm.
Just check out the Hampton Beach Casino. After
I was just going to say.
Go up there and, you know, that's some good jersey spotting. By the way, what's the word on Anthony Davis? Because the Lakers are in town tonight.
And he fell down. You remember that highlight where he fell down on his back and he bruised his tailbone. X-rays are negative, but he's been with the Lakers but has missed the last five games heading into tonight. So he may play. He may not play.
Great. I'm going to go see a game that's got no Anthony Davis, no Kemba Walker, and no Jaylen Brown.
Well, at least Walker and Brown have been listed as questionable. Okay. Nothing on Davis.
All right. We shall see. All right. So on Friday, I played a clip of Quentin Tarantino saying that he had written the part of Jules from Pulp Fiction, not for Mr. Samuel Jackson, but for Lawrence Fishburne. But Lawrence Fishburne's people said, you shouldn't do this. It's not a leading man role. And of course, that launched Samuel Jackson's career. We were talking about, hey, wasn't there like a guy who once interviewed Samuel Jackson and thought he was Lawrence Fishburne? Well, I found the clip and it's 10 times better than I even remembered.
I like this. I tell you what, you working for Marvel, the Super Bowl commercial, did you get a lot of reaction to that Super Bowl commercial?
What Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, you know what? I've admit my mistake.
You're as crazy as the people on Twitter.
Right.
I'm not Lawrence Fishburne.
That's my fault. Oh, I know that. God. That was my fault. My mistake. You know what?
We don't all look alike.
Father, you're exactly
we may be
right.
All black and famous.
You are guilty.
All look alike.
I am guilty.
I am
guilty.
He thought you were Bob Dylan.
Right.
You're the entertainment reporter.
I know.
You're the entertainment reporter for this station.
Flog.
And you don't know the difference between me and Lawrence Fishburne.
My mistake. I apologize. Really, my big mistake. Let's talk about.
That must be a very short line for your job.
I'll say. No. It probably would not be hard to get another person to sit right here. Let's talk about RoboCop.
Oh, hell no.
Really? Really?
I apologize.
But I'm the other guy. But I'm the other guy. The other one. What's in your wallet?
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly right.
There's more than one black guy doing a commercial.
There it is. No question about that.
I'm the what's in your wallet black guy.
Okay.
He's the car black guy.
There it is.
Morgan Freeman is the other credit card black guy. You only hear his voice, though, so you probably won't confuse him with Lawrence Fishburne.
You're 100% right. To RoboCop,
there's a heavyweight black guy that's like putting cash down in the seats in a baseball stadium, but he's also the black guy that turns off the house, the water, and the lights when his kid tells him the house is cool. I'm not that guy either.
Do we want to do a list of all the people that you're not?
And I've actually never done a McDonald's or a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. I know that's surprising.
Right. Fair enough.
Oh, man.
To the original...
And I'm the only black guy in RoboCop that's not a criminal.
Okay.
Other than Michael K. White.
Were you a fan of the Peter Weller version?
Yes.
That's how it ended.
The backpedaling from the dumb entertainment reporter.
And the fact that Samuel L. Jackson would not let it go. I'm just going to murder you on TV.
Well, no, I wouldn't let it. If I was the entertainment reporter, I wouldn't let it go either. You finally got something going on, dummy.
Were you a fan of the original RoboCop?
He goes, yeah.
Entertainment reporter. What does that pay?
Oof, not sure.
That can't be much.
Bad Boys for Life, by the way, coming in number one this weekend. $60 million. Doolittle at number two with $23 million. And 1917, which I heard is just awesome, with $22 million. I've not seen that one yet. That's the one with the one take. It's not one take, but it's supposed to look like one take throughout the entire movie, which just follows the one guy around.
In Tarantino's movie?
It would be one take of feet, I'm sure.
If you YouTube Tarantino feet... What do you find?
No, you find videos of Quentin Tarantino being obsessed with feet.
Hmm. So why head to the cinema?
Yes. Because you could just look at the videos of feet. Mm-hmm. DA. Mm-hmm. DA all of a sudden showing up again.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and the midday show has decided to take this company holiday off, and they will miss their comp day that comes later in the year on a 14 degree day where kids are. Dan makes a good point where kids are out of school.
Sailed in. Well, you guys always sail into work, but
there was no traffic on my way to work today.
Was there?
Yeah.
Really?
That's odd.
It's all like city workers.
Oh, okay.
Like on my way to work. It's always... I had a bus honk at me this morning, and I was just at a red light. I'm like, what do you want me to do?
I got caught the other night in the trucks that drop sand all over the freeway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those deals where you could see it kind of coming, and if I was about to, you know, hit the gas to try and get in front
warp
of it.
Warp speed, baby. You and see that coming out of the highway because you're stuck behind it if you don't.
And they had, it was like an SUV that was kind of leading the charge. And that sucker pulled right in front of me and then hit the brakes. So it would have taken me, 20 minutes to get there. It took me 40 minutes to get there.
Have you ever seen the jackass that, because, when you're on the highway and they're putting the salt on, you'll have the five, or they're plowing the stuff, but you'll have the five staggered in a row.
That's what it
take
was.
Up each lane.
Yep.
Have you ever seen the jackass that tries to find a hole where he can cut through them? So he'll get between like numbers three and numbers four and wait for one of them just to go a little faster. But and then the trucks like honk at him. And I mean, there's nothing you wish more for that guy to just get pegged when that happens.
Just get run over.
Suffer with the rest of us.
That's right.
You're not getting any kind of edge. We're all in this together.
That's it, man. So is it weird the Patriots, you guys aren't working when the Patriots were playing yesterday?
I guess it's been a while.
It's about time?
Yeah, well,
maybe.
I mean, the games at least are interesting.
I thought they were somewhat compelling. Second game, not so much.
No, who do you got to root for in this? Like, who do you have to, like, out of the two teams? There's enough to hate, in my opinion, about Kansas City to root for the 49ers. Like, obviously, you know, Kelsey's is a douche, and he said some douchebag things after the game.
I mean, for me, it's you want to say what's a more likable team? Is the 49ers.
Yeah, you got to go Niners.
Just it's a more likable team. You know, I mean, Mahomes kind of is starting to get on my nerves a little bit. As great as a player is, he's a little bit over skis.
Kelsey, Tyreek Hill.
Well, the Tyreek Hill.
Kelsey can't
root for that team.
It's hard. It's hard. But I think it's the best matchup.
It's gonna, the Super Bowl's going to rule.
It's
going to
be a great game. It's going to be a good game, boys.
Get you guacamole. All right, that'll do it for us, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your holiday. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.